Today's shiur is Masechet Nedarim Daf Pei Beis. We will begin on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis, Pei Aleph Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Baimene Rav and Rav Nachman. As we have been learning, there are two categories of Nedarim that a husband could be made for. One is the category known as Inui Nefesh, something that's considered affliction to the wife. And the other is Beinoi Lebeinoi, something that affects their relationship. As we have also been learning, there are some very fundamental differences in halacha between these two types of revocations. When a husband is made for a neder of Inui Nefesh, it remains a permanent revocation. Beinoi Lebeinoi, it's only as long as they're married. Secondly, Inui Nefesh, when a husband is made for a neder of Inui Nefesh, he's made for the entire neder. When somebody is made for a neder of Beinoi Lebeinoi, it only affects what affects their relationship. Only that far does the hafara work. Ask the Gemara. As we learned in the previous shir, in the Braisa, we attributed to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi clearly holds that Tashmi Shamita is under the category of Beinoi Lebeinoi. But the Gemara now asks, Boimene Rav and Rav Nachman, Tashmi Shamita L'Rabbonin. According to Rabbonin, how do they view Tashmi Shamita? Do they view it as under the category of Inui Nefesh? Who, with all of the halachas that Inui Nefesh Hafara bring, that we just discussed? Or Dvarim Shebeinoi Lebeinoi? Or they view it as under the category of Beinoi Lebeinoi? Amalei. So he answered, Tenisua. We're going to learn a Mishnah. If a woman makes a neder, v'netula nimen Yehudim. So before we go further, I saw the Mefarshim ask a very fundamental question. How can we have a question if Tashmi Shamita is or isn't Inui Nefesh? Yom Kippur, we just discussed the other day. Inui. A person has to be Tanus Nafshaseichem. We have to be in a status of Inui. And one of the things we know is prohibited on Yom Kippur is Tashmi Shamita. So shouldn't that be a clear indication that Tashmi Shamita is in the category of Inui Nefesh? So one teretz I saw, and we actually discussed this when we learned the other day briefly some of the halachas of Yom Kippur, that Tashmi Shamita on Yom Kippur is only Asma D'Rabbonim. Al Gemara wants to know if Tashmi Shamita is in the category of Inui Nefesh Midoraisa. And Yom Kippur, it's only us Midrabbonim. In fact, the Mefarshim that give this teretz, that say that Tashmi Shamita is on Yom Kippur, only us Midrabbonim, ask now the other way around. Shouldn't that be a clear indication that Tashmi Shamita is not Inui Nefesh Midaraisa? For word Inui Nefesh Midaraisa, it should be us on Yom Kippur. So they answer, as we also discussed, that the only type of Inui Nefesh that's us on Yom Kippur is Inui Nefesh that sheyesh by ibud neshama, where it affects, that it weakens me. Not eating, not drinking weakens the person. On the other hand, Tashmi Shamita may be an Inui, but it's not an Inui that weakens the individual. And therefore, in Yom Kippur, it's not Asa Midaraisa, but that doesn't have any bearing on the Shaila that we're discussing today. Is it in the category of Inui Nefesh as far as Nedarim are concerned? Another teretz that I saw is that there are two separate concepts. There's a concept of Inui Nefesh and there's a concept of Inui. Two very, very different concepts. And the Gemara, for Nedarim, there's a concept of Inui Nefesh. For Yom Kippur, there's a concept of Inui, which are not synonymous. Right, so some say Yom Kippur is Inui Nefesh and Nedarim are Inui. But that they're two different concepts. A third teretz that I saw, very interesting teretz. Certainly as far as a man is concerned, Tashmi Shamita is Inui Nefesh. And Yom Kippur, therefore, men are also in Tashmi Shamita Midaraisa. Once men are also in Tashmi Shamita, women are also also, because it takes a man and a woman. Here, the focus is not on the man. In Algamar, the focus is on the woman, because the woman is the one making the Dorim, and our question is, can this neder be revoked or not? And therefore, for women, it may be a different status than for men. And therefore, the Gemara is asking, how do we look at it as far as women are concerned? So Gemara wants to answer from a Mishnah that we're going to learn later in our parak. The Mishnah says, "V'natula nimin yehudim." If a woman makes a neder that she's not allowed to have tashmish with any man, yofer chalkoi. So the husband, when his wife makes the neder, has a right to be made for his what affects him, and then they can have relations. But for all other Jews, she may not have relations. Ask the Gemara, proves the Gemara. The Amrit, if we're going to suggest the neder ini nefeshu, the tashmish is in the category of ini nefesh, amai tehinat tulim and yehudim, why is the halacha that she can't have tashmish with anybody? Isn't the halacha, as we said at the beginning of our shir, that when we speak about a neder of inu nefesh, that the husband is mefer, it entirely wipes out the neder, so she should not be asa to anyone else. The fact that when he is mefer this neder of tashmish shamita, it only is effective as far as the husband is concerned, no one else, shma mina, we see clearly that tashmish shamita falls under the category of dvarim shebeinoy lebeino. And that's why when he's mefer, only mefer as far as he is concerned. Mefarshim ask, if a woman makes a neder that she may not have tashmish with any one, married woman, obviously, the Mishnah is discussing, how's the neder chal? We have a rule throughout Shas of ein isser chal al isser. And this woman is already asked to have relations with any man. She's a married woman. So I saw a number of terutzim to this question. One teretz is, this is the simplest teretz, that even though there's a rule of ein isser chal al isser, something that's osur can't become osur again, if the second isser is a broader isser than the first isser, then it is effective. The woman, till she made this neder, was osur to have tashmish with anybody besides her husband. When she made the neder of netula nimin yehudim, it includes her husband. Her husband's also a Jewish man. So since the neder affects a larger group, there's no issue of ein isser chal al isser. That's one teretz. A second teretz, a very lomdish teretz, is we learned earlier in our Masechta Mishnah, says that if somebody says something is osur with a shvua, and then somebody says that the exact same item should be osur with a neder, the neder is chal on the shvua. Why? And we explained when we learned the Gemara, a shvua is an isser gavra, a neder is an isser cheftza, and therefore a neder could be effective on top of a shvua. So the Mefarshim want to suggest that every Isser in the Torah is an Isser Gavra. The Torah doesn't speak to Heftzes. The Torah speaks to Gavras, to individuals. So yes, a married woman may not have relations with another man, but that's an Isser Gavra. When she goes now and makes a neder, she created an Isser Heftza. An Isser Heftza can be Chal on top of an Isser Gavra. And that's why the neder is an effective neder. A third teretz that I saw to this question, And we've learned this concept also. Yes, this neder cannot really be activated. Why? Because she's already usher. But when one makes a neder that's not activated, it doesn't mean that the neder disappears. The neder is here, it just can't be activated. And if the first issue that prevents it from being activated would go away, for example, she got divorced, then the neder would be effective. So it's not that the neder is not effective. It can't be activated, but effective and activated are not synonymous. In the yeshivish sprach, we would say there's something called a chalois, and there's something called a maisa. A maisa neder we have. A chalois we don't have. So as the Gemara proved, the fact that we can only be made for it, that the husband only can be made for it as far as it affects him, isn't that a proof that Dvarim Shebeinu Lebein Hava? Says the Gemara L'Rabbonin Tabayilach. The Gemara's question is to Rabbonin. Mishum, because the Gemara says, Dam Mishnah, which clearly proves that Tashmish Amita is in the category of Beinu Lebeinu, Shenatul Anim and Yehudim, Dam Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Ketanila, is a Mishnah that was taught by Rabbi Yossi. Our Gemara, as we began this year, is question, what would Rabbonin hold? What makes us say that Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi? Says the Gemara, the Amar of Huna, Kula Pirkin Rabbi Yossi Hi. All the Mishnayis in our Perek were taught by Rabbi Yossi. Says the Gemara, Mai. What makes us say that all the Mishnayis that we're going to learn were taught by Rabbi Yossi? Answers the Gemara. Kim Dektani Rabbi Yossi Oimer. If we go back to Daf Ayin Tes Amabez,
and we look at the top of the Gemara, we were learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Amar Reb Yossi, Ein Elu Nedrei Nefesh. Reb Yossi says these are not Nedrei Nefesh. But we have a very big difficulty. If we look at the last words of the Mishnah, the Mishnah again repeats, Divrei Reb Yossi. The question is, why does the Mishnah have to repeat that this is the opinion of Reb Yossi? It already said, Amar Reb Yossi. Says Rav Huna, what the Mishnah is teaching us is, not for what we learned already. That we know is the opinion of Reb Yossi. What the Mishnah here is coming to teach us is that everything that we're going to learn, all the Mishnayos that we're going to learn in the Ha'o Perek, are the opinion of Reb Yossi. So yes, the Mishnah, the Tulanim and Yehudim, clearly indicates that Tash and Shemitah is in the category of Beinah LeBeinah. We know, according to Reb Yossi, Tash and Shemitah is Beinah LeBeinah. We learned that yesterday in the Braisa. Our question is, what is the opinion of Rabbanon? That we don't have a proof from this Mishnah. Again, Netulanim and Yehudim Reb Yosef Tanila. That Mishnah was taught by Reb Yosi. Dom Rav Huna, because Rav Huna taught us, Kula Perik and all of the Mishnayis were going to learn in our Perik, Reb Yosef have it. Represent the opinion of Reb Yosi. Ask Mermai, what makes you say that? Kim Nektani Reb Yosi Aymer. The Mishnah begins with the words Reb Yosi Aymer, Ein Elu Nedrei Nefesh, Lomeli. Why does the Mishnah have to repeat these words? Why does Reb Yossi have to repeat these words? That the rest of the parak represents the opinion of Reb Yossi. So we don't have an answer to our shayla. And therefore the Ran says, since we don't know if the Rabbanan considered Tashma Shemitah, Inu in Nefesh, or Beino Lebeino, the Ran says we have to be Machmer and consider it only a nether Beino Lebeino. It's interesting to note that the Rambam and the Pirush of Mishnayis says that according to the Rabbanon, Tashma Shemitah will be the category of Inui Nefesh, which is a little hard to understand, because if we look at the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam and Mishnah Torah paskins that Tashma Shemitah is Beinoi LeBeinoi. So we have a contradiction in the Rambam. But that contradiction perhaps could be answered, because the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah may be paskining like Reb Yossi. According to Reb Yossi, there's no question that Tashma Shemitah falls under the category of Beinoi LeBeinoi. The Rambam, the Pirush Mishnayis, who is explaining the opinion of the Rabbanon, says that according to Rabbanon, it's Inui Nefesh. Says the Gemara, Amishmu Mishmei Delevi, Kol Nedarim, Baal Mei Felishtai. All Nedarim that a woman makes, the husband has the right to be Mefer if it's a Neder of Inui Nefesh. Chutz Mena Anosi Alplaini. So I saw some interesting halachas. The Gemara begins that her husband has a right to be made for all Nedarim, unless she makes a neder that a certain individual may not have anor from her. Included in the neder, what would be the halacha if a woman, there's a tosefta that the Taz explains, what would be the halacha if a woman makes a neder that she's not allowed to eat, that she's not going to eat something which is unhealthy? The example I was thinking of when I saw this was, let's say a woman made a neder that she's not going to smoke. She has a problem that she smokes, and she makes a neder that she's not going to smoke. Smoking is certainly unhealthy, and this is one of the ways she's going to think she's going to stop from smoking. But she enjoys smoking. So is that considered Inui Nefesh? On one hand, how could you call it Inui Nefesh? She's doing something which is for her health benefit. On the other hand, it is causing her distress because she wants to smoke. She enjoys smoking. So the Taz paskins that if it bothers her, even though it's not healthy, it falls under the category of Inui Nefesh. And he goes on to say, it's a very subjective situation. A person who enjoys smoking, if they make a neder they're not going to smoke, it's Inui Nefesh. A person who doesn't smoke and doesn't enjoy smoking, for them Inui Nefesh, for them smoking, when not making a neder they're not going to smoke, wouldn't be Inui Nefesh. But I saw a tshuva for Rabbi Yoshev. This is a shaila that could certainly come up. A woman wants to be on a diet, so she made a neder that she's not going to eat between meals. She'll eat by meals, she can eat whatever she wants. But she wants to, so to speak, control herself, so she made a neder not to eat between meals. So she didn't prohibit any specific food. She just said that she shouldn't eat food between meals. Is that considered a neder of Inui Nefesh or not? Rabbi Yoshua said that that's not considered Inui Nefesh. Since she didn't completely prohibit herself from any specific food, that would be considered Inui Nefesh. So the Mishnah, so the Shmuel says, if a woman made a neder that a certain person may not have hanor from her, it's not considered any nefesh. And the Miri asked the obvious question: if a person makes a neder that I'm not going to benefit from you, that's any nefesh, because I may want to benefit from you, and now I may not. I can't. But if I make a neder that you can't benefit from me, where's the ini nefesh that Shmuel has to say it? So the Miri gives two answers. The first answer is a simple answer. He says there's really no chiddush here. Just since the Brice is going to teach us that when a woman makes a neder that she can't benefit from somebody, that she may not benefit from somebody, it is ini nefesh. So the Brice is teaching, Shmuel is teaching us the contrast. That's one teretz. Another teretz that the Miri gives, very simple teretz. We know how it is in life. If I'm nice to people, they'll be nice to me. If I'm not nice to people, they won't be nice to me. So now the woman says, if I made a neder that this person can't have any benefit from me, what's going to happen? He's not going to want to do anything on my behalf. That becomes ini nefesh. Still teaches us the Shmuel that that's not considered ini nefesh. The Ritva says a different teretz. Ritva says, a woman made a neder. She got angry at somebody. It doesn't have to be a woman, but we're talking about women here. A woman gets angry at somebody, and she says, I'm angry, and he's never allowed to benefit from me. Then she calms down, and she realizes that she spoke a little out of turn. And it starts causing her distress, what she said. So maybe we should say that that distress that she's feeling, that she jumped to make a neder when she was angry, should be considered inui nefesh, that the husband should be allowed to be made for that neder, teaches us the Shmuel that that doesn't fall under the category of inui nefesh. It may fall under the category of a Pesach, that she could go to a Rav to have the neder annulled, but as far as inui nefesh, it isn't. However, Aval hanos ploini olai, if somebody makes a neder that she's not allowed to have benefit from a specific individual, that neder, mefer, that's considered a neder of inui nefesh, that the husband may be mefer. I saw a marit that asked the following question. What would be the halacha if Reuven made a neder that is now a benefit from Shimon? And then Reuven is a poor person who's living off a tzedakah fund that Shimon contributes to. Is it considered that if Reuven is taking from the tzedakah fund that Shimon contributed to, as if Reuven is taking from Shimon and he's not allowed to take? Or is pshat that when Shimon gives to the tzedakah fund, it's not pshat that the money's now Shimon's. It's the tzedakah funds. And Reuven is taking from the tzedakah fund, not from Shimon. So the Marit says that it's considered that he's taking not from Shimon, he's taking from an independent tzedakah fund that is mutter. The Marit goes on to say, this isn't that relevant in our world, but in former times, every community had a tzedakah fund that was like a tax. They were able to tell every individual how much they could contribute to the tzedakah, how much they have to contribute to the tzedakah fund. Says the Marit, let's say Shimon not only contributed to the tzedakah fund what he was obligated to give, but let's say he contributed to the tzedakah fund more than he was obligated to give, it's still not considered that Reuven is benefiting from Shimon. He's benefiting from a general fund that doesn't really belong to Shimon. It belongs to the community, which is a separate entity. So Shmuel is clearly telling us that if a woman made a neder that she may not benefit from a specific individual, that neder falls under the category of nidrei ini nefesh that the husband is allowed to make for. Ask the Gemara Tanan. If a woman, and our Mishnah we learned, if a woman said, Paris Medina Zualai, that I'm not allowed to benefit from the fruit from a specific Medina, the halacha is Yovaloi Medina Acheris. Fruit should be brought from a different country. So the question is very obvious. If a woman may not benefit from one individual, Shmuel is saying that's already considered inyan nefesh. So if a woman says that she's not allowed to have the fruit from an entire country, shouldn't that be considered inyan nefesh? Omer of Yosef, the Ka'amr Shatavi. It doesn't mean that she said that she's not allowed to benefit at all. It means that what she said was that she can't benefit from the fruit of that country if her husband will bring her that fruit. But if she'll bring the fruit herself, that'll be mutter. Ask the Ran, a Gevaldige Kasha. So what are we saying according to the Gemara at this point? The reason she's allowed to eat from, the reason the neder is not considered inui nefesh, the reason the neder is a valid neder, because she could still eat fruit from that country, because she could bring herself the fruit. But that's not what the Mishnah says. Let's learn the Mishnah. The Mishnah said Kainim, Paris, Medina, Zalai, why is the nether not effective? Because Yavlam, Medina, Cheris, because the husband could always bring a fruit from a different country. That's not what the Gemara is saying here. The Gemara is saying here the reason is because she could still bring the fruit of herself. So how will the Gemara understand what the Mishnah says? So the Ran says there's actually another question. The Mishnah said, Kainim, Paris, Oilam, Alai, if a woman said that she's not allowed to eat any fruit, that's a nether that is uni nefesh. Ask the Ran, if we're interpreting our Mishnah to be discussing that she only meant that if the husband brings her the fruit, it's usur. But if she brings the fruit herself, it'll be fine. So why, even if she said a nether that she's not going to eat any fruit, is it a nether of uni nefesh? So her husband won't bring, she'll bring herself. So the Ran answers a very fundamental vart. The Ran says that even though she could bring the fruit herself, whether she says the fruit from one country or the fruit from the entire world, a woman relies on her husband. So, yes, the woman said, I'm not going to eat fruit from a specific country. I'm not going to eat fruit from a specific country. If not that there was an option, I'm not going to eat fruit from that country that my husband brings. If not that there were an option that a husband could somehow bring the fruit, maybe not from that country, from another country. The fact that she herself could bring the fruit is not good enough. Only because she could bring fruit from that country, coupled with the fact that a husband could bring fruit from another country, that's why it's not ini nefesh. So now we could understand the first case of the Mishnah. When the woman said, I'm not going to eat the fruit from any fruit, if my husband brings it, yes, she could still eat the fruit if she brings it herself. But she can't eat any fruit that her husband is bringing. So even though she still could eat fruit, but if she can't eat any fruit that her husband is going to bring her, and a woman relies on her husband, that's already considered inu nefesh. Toshma. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a kasha from our Mishnah. If a woman said, Peris chenvoni azeh, a lie. If a woman said, I'm not going to eat fruit from a specific store, da loch is en yochel hofer. So again, the Gemara is assuming that she can't eat any fruit from that store. So why not being able to eat fruit from a store is different than not benefiting from an individual? And if Shmuel says not benefiting from an individual is inu nefesh, shouldn't this too be inu nefesh? Answers the Gemara, hakanami the ka'amr shatavi ata. It meant not that she won't be able to eat any fruit from the store. She won't be able to eat any fruit from the store if her husband brings it. But it doesn't completely prohibit her from the fruit of that store. And the Mefarshim explained what was the Gemara's kasha teretz. The Gemara thought in the Havamina that if the previous case is talking about a case where only the husband may not bring it, here we're already maybe speaking that no one could give a fruit from that store. And now the Gemara says, no, that's not the way to understand. Ella continues the Gemara. L'haysa penasasa el memenu. But let's say that store that she identified that she's not allowed to eat fruit from, she is the store, is the only store that extends to them credit, then it's considered another inu nefesh. Ask the Gemara, and this is the girsa of the Ran. There are many girsas in this Gemara. The Amit, if we're going to explain that our Gemara is referring to Amrele Shetavi, Ato, Amai Yofer, if we're going to explain that our Mishnah is only referring to a case, that if the husband brings her the fruit, it's also to her. But anybody else can bring a fruit, so why is that a net of inu nefesh? So the husband won't bring a fruit from that store. She could still eat. Ella, how must we interpret the Mishnah? Mid the sefer, mid the loy maisabal. Since we have to say that the sefer is not limited to the husband. The sefer is referring to a situation where the woman said that no one can bring me fruit from that store. And since that's the store that extends to them credit, it's considered inu nefesh. So now we go back to reinterpret the entire Mishnah. All of the cases of the Mishnah aren't that the woman just said that I'm not allowed to eat fruit that my husband brings me from this country. She said I'm not allowed to eat the fruit at all. So now we have a question. If the Mishnah is saying that if a woman who said that I'm not going to eat fruit from a certain country, it's not considered inu nefesh, so why does Shmuel say when she says she's not going to eat fruit, she's not going to benefit from one individual, it is inu nefesh? Reisha the kamaisihi, that she can't bring, no one can bring El Reisha and Yochel Hafka. The Reisha must be that no one could bring her, and therefore, why is it different than Shmuel's case? Answers the Gemara, and again, this is the way the Ran explains. Masnisen Rabbi Yosihi. Our Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yosi. Where Shmuel, who said his din, was saying it according to the Rabbanim. Damar Rav Huna, Kula Pirkin Rav Yossi. As we learned just a couple of moments ago, Rav Huna says that all the Mishnayos in our Perik are Rav Yossi. So Duran asks, what do I need the Gemara to tell me that our Mishnah is the opinion of Rav Yossi, because Rav Huna says all the Mishnayos of our Perik are Rav Yossi? You know how you know our Mishnah is Rav Yossi? Because the Mishnah says so. The Mishnah says Rav Yossi Oimer. So what do I need the Gemara to say? Because all the Mishnayos are Rav Yossi. So the Ran says that what the Gemara means to say with this line is not to explain that our Mishnah is going according to Rav Yossi. We of course know that our Mishnah is Rav Yossi. He says so. We're going to have a question from the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah says that if somebody says that, if a woman says, I'm not going to have Hano Labriois from all people, any Yachal HaHofer. If Shmuel says that you can't, if you prohibit benefit from one individual, you're not allowed to have benefit. So certainly if you prohibit benefit from all individuals, you can't have benefit. So how are we going to explain the next Mishnah? That's the Gemara's question. Answers the Gemara, don't ask me questions for the next Mishnah. Because the next Mishnah also reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, Shmuel's din is incorrect. Umay eni yachal ha-hafer, eni nefesh, al-mefer nedarim shebeinoy lebeino. And here too, there are two ways in the Rishonim to learn this Gemara. First, we'll explain the Gemara according to the Ran. What the Gemara is trying to teach us, says the Ran, is as follows. That even though Rabbi Yossi says that if a woman says, I'm not going to have benefit from the fruits from a specific country, it's not considered inu nefesh. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi will also not agree with what Shmuel said, that if a woman said, I'm not going to benefit from a specific individual, it's not considered inu nefesh. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi will say it's not inu nefesh, but he will hold that it falls under the category of beinoy lebeino. Ask the Gemara, ask the Ran, why is it so important to the Gemara to make this point? That Rabbi Yossi may not consider it inu nefesh, but he at least considers it beinoy lebeino. We're talking about Shmuel, and we're saying that Shmuel goes according to Rabbanan. Why is it so important to the Gemara to explain Rabbi Yossi's opinion? So the Ran says a geval de gevart. The Ran says that the Gemara is trying to make everything understandable. According to Shmuel, who is saying now follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, this is a neder that a woman will not benefit from an individual is inu nefesh. If Rabbi Yossi will hold that that is not even not inu nefesh, nor beinoy lebeino, the disparity between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi is very wide. Rabbi Yossi says it's a neder that the husband can't touch. It's not inu nefesh. It's not beinoy lebeino. The Rabbanan hold it's all the way to the other extreme, inu nefesh. Says Duran, there is no precedent that we should see that the machloikis between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi is so wide apart. Because if we take the Gemara that we learned in the previous year, the Gemara we spoke about not taking a bath, again, the Rabbanan hold it's inu nefesh, Rabbi Yossi hold it's beinoy lebeino. So the Gemara, says Duran, goes out of its way to say that according to Rabbi Yossi, it's beinoy lebeino. It's not nothing. It's beino lebeino. According to the Rabbanon, it's inu nefesh, so it's not such a big machloikis, and therefore it's all understandable. That's how the Ran explains the Gemara. The Rosh explains the Gemara differently. And the Rosh says that the Gemara here is offering actually two terutzim. One terutz that the Gemara is saying is, the terutz as the Ran explained, that Shmuel follows the opinion of the Rabbanon, that this is inu nefesh, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. But the Rosh says the Gemara with the words Umay perhaps is beginning to say a second teretz. And the Gemara is suggesting that Shmuel follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. That, yes, Shmuel says that if a woman makes another that she will not benefit from a person, the husband's allowed to be made for it. But not because it's inu nefesh. Because it's beinoy lebeino. So according to this, it could be that Shmuel agrees with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. And there would be very serious halachic ramifications. Because a neder of beino lebeino, as we said at the beginning of this year, the husband's authority to revoke is not as strong as inu nefesh. And it could be Shmuel's following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, not the opinion of the Rabbanan. Continues the Gemara. Amar Yudah Mishmuel, nor the Mishtei Kikris. Again, we're going to begin the Gemara explaining it the way the Ran explains the Gemara. There are two loaves of bread. And a woman made a neder that she's not going to eat either of those two loaves. One loaf is a very geschmack, a very good loaf of bread. In those days, just the opposite of nowadays. Whole wheat bread was called black bread. It was considered inferior. And bread that was made from fine flour was considered superior. So this woman made a nether that she's not going to eat these two loaves. Says the Gemara, Nodra Mishtei Kikris, she made a nether she's not going to eat these two loaves of bread. Ma'achas Masana, one is fine, is a fine loaf of bread, where there's Ini Nefesh, or Ba'achas Eina Masana, and the second loaf, there is no Ini Nefesh. So the loch is Metoich Shu Meifel Masana, Meifel Sheina Masana. Rabbi Yochanan says that since she can make a nether from the loaf that has in it Inui Nefesh, she could also expand to make a nether on the loaf that there is no Inui Nefesh. And the Ran and so firstly we have to say one word of introduction. Certainly, if this nether were in the category of Beinoi Lebeinoi, this Gemara wouldn't be a subject. Because we learned already in Amud Aleph that when there's a nether of Beinoi Lebeinoi, the husband's rights are limited to what's relevant to him. Here we're talking about a nether of Inui Nefesh. And again, according to the Ran's explanation, one loaf there clearly is an issue of Inui Nefesh, and the other loaf there is no issue of Inui Nefesh. But says the Ran, what Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel is saying, is that we're going to learn a Gemara. The Pasuk says, Isha Yefireno. Isha Yefireno. The word Yefireno, Gemara is going to teach us, is that the husband has the right to be made in the entire nether. And what's the Torah teaching us? That since part of the nether affects Inui Nefesh, therefore he could also be made for the nether, he could also be made for the part that doesn't affect Inui Nefesh. And therefore, even the part of the nether, the bread that's black bread, he has the right to be made for. Rav Asi Omer Rav Yochanan, Rav Yassi, it says the name of Rav Yochanan, he disagrees. Meifel Masana ve'en Meifel Ish'en Masana. Only that part. Only the part, because he views it that it's all, that Ishiya Ferenor, he has to be made for the entire part that affects Inu Nefesh. But the part of the nether that doesn't talk to Inu Nefesh, the husband has no rights to be made for. Darachayim HaKadosh says that that's Pshat, what the Torah says, Hofer Yofer Loi Isha. That the Torah is referring to the pshat that Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel says, Hofer Yofer. He can be made for the part that's Masana, that does Inui Nefesh, and also be made for the part that's not Inui Nefesh. Ikadami, another version, how Rav Asi said his name, how Rav Yochanan said his opinion. Boimne Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan. Nodri Mishtei Kikris, Ba'achas Masana, Ba'achas Eina Masana. One loaf has Inui Nefesh, and one loaf doesn't have Inui Nefesh. Mahu, can be made for both loaves, or only the loaf that represents Inui Nefesh. Amalei and Rav Yochanan answered, Meifel Masana Ve'efel Shein Masana, because he has a different interpretation according to the Ran's understanding of the Gemara of what Ishi Yefirena means. There's another approach to explaining the Gemara, which really we could explain this way. I was sure, and maybe it's what's going through your minds as I'm saying the Gemara, that why don't we say a concept that we spent a lot of time working on, Nedda Shota Mekzasa Huta Kulei, that if part of the nether becomes annulled, the entire nether becomes annulled. The answer is because the halacha of nether shot mektsas otakulai is only by hataras nedarim. Because what have we explained is the fundamental difference between hataras nedarim and hafaras nedarim. Hataras nedarim annuls the nether. It's mi'ekar okur. It totally uproots the nether. So nether shot mektsasa, if part of the nether is annulled, that means I never said anything, and the entire nether falls away. Hafara doesn't work as an annulment, it only works into the future. Hafara, there we don't say nether shot mektsasa to kulay. So some Rishonim want to suggest that that's actually the machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel. Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel says that the power of a husband in Hafara is similar to the power of a chacham with a Torah. And just like when a chacham is matter a nether, we apply the concept of nether shota mektsasa huta kulay, so too when a husband is made for a nether, will we apply the concept of nether shota mektsasa huta kulay. Whereas Rav Yochanan says, as we said a moment ago, hatar and afar are totally two different concepts. By hatar we say nether shota mektsasa huta kulay. that doesn't have anything to do with Afara. A third approach, how to view this Gemara. The third approach says to us that is this considered, this woman said that she's not going to eat these two loaves of bread. And she said it at the exact same time. She said it in one moment. Do we indeed view it as one nether? And because we view it as one nether, nothing to do with nether shotem mitzvah to kulay. But since she viewed it as one nether, and now when the husband comes to revoke the nether, he's making it clear that he's looking to revoke the entire nether. So we have two things working in his favor. Number one, she did say the nether at one time. And number two, when the husband comes to activate the process of revocation, he clearly indicates that he means to be made for the entire nether. That's enough to give him the power to be made for the entire nether. The other opinion, Rav Yochanan says, just because the husband wants to revoke the entire nether, doesn't give him the right to revoke it. He only has the right to revoke what affects Inui Nefesh. But according to this approach, which is the approach of the Rosh, even Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, who's lenient in our Gemara, and holds that if she made a nether from two loaves of bread, he has the ability to be made for both loaves, even the loaf that doesn't have Inui Nefesh, it will at least require that the husband should clearly articulate that he's looking to be made for that loaf. But if the husband, when he's made for the nether, will not indicate that he's looking to be made for the loaf that doesn't have in it Inui Nefesh, even Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, according to the Rosh, will agree that only the loaf that has in it Inui Nefesh will she be allowed to eat, the other loaf she will remain prohibited to eat.